Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you'd like to share with us from the road, or if you'd like to just come on and have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us. Go to hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to Hammer Lane Legends webpage, hit the contact section, and get a hold of us that way. We don't care which way you do it. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Shipper, talk to them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail, short story. You've got something that you've seen crazy on the road? Give them a call, 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
That's freaking fantastic. You did it again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead.
I'm done.
No. Please finish. Please do.
If you have a short story, anything longer than that, you should get a hold of Jack so we can probably get you scheduled to be on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Great advice.
Anyway, buy us the coffee.
There you go. Buy me a coffee.
Keith Fitzfield at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like what the hell they we call a show here today, leave a tip, leave a virtual tip. We appreciate it. It keeps us caffeinated to keep this insanity going every week.
Hey, amen. You got it, brother. And if you find yourself in need of preparedness stuff, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. They have everything in there you need.
And 25 if they don't year have food. It, you don't need it.
Amen, brother. If they don't have it, you don't need it. They've got, you know, generators. They've got solar panels. They've got
water purifiers.
You name it. They've got it. 30 year coffee. The most important thing you're ever going to buy is 30 year coffee because you want to have good coffee in 30 years. Anyway, get a hold of them. Do it through preparewithhll.com.
And as you visit our website, hammerlanelegends.com, be sure to check out the gear section. See if you get anything there you like. Buy it. Day we got it. It's there. Jack says he's working on hats eventually.
He is, which, you know, I guess it's probably just as good a time as any to say Jack is going to be doing producing full time. So that's going to be a help for us. We're not going to have any more of these glitch weeks where it's like, oh, I didn't have time because he was working full time.
Whoa. Pump the brakes.
I already talked to him about that. He and I had a conversation yesterday, as it were. And, you know, of course, you know, he always tells me, yeah, Dad, it's going to be good. We're going to have a great day. It's going to be good.
Famous last words. It's going to be good.
You know, and it's the benefit of when your producer is your son, you can actually give him a hard time because, you know, I don't really pay him anyway. So. Right. And he still stays around, so you know it is good. And so part of me is heartbroken because he's moving to Tennessee, and part of me is really excited because it's going to become a full time gig for him. He's working with his brother, and I think it's great. And hopefully it pans out for the show. But anyway, it will.
So I'm just trusting. That means there's two of the Merkel clan already down in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
And
our daughter is talking about. She was talking to me yesterday about going, and it's just like part of me is just like, you know, this sucks. This is like heartbreaking because all of my kids will be in Tennessee, along with my grandkids, and my wife and I will be here, and then eventually it's a mosey down the road. So
no, look at it this way: if they're all down there, they all have separate houses. They all have a separate room.
I can move.
Spend 3 months with this one, 3 months with that one, 3 months with this. Boom, you're done.
I don't even need a house. All I need is the clothes on my back and maybe an extra pair of clothes, you know, an extra change of clothes, and I'll be good to go.
Yes.
You know? Who needs to work?
Right.
You know?
Stay tuned and look for this on the social media platforms here, YouTube or Facebook or the other Twitter game.
Exactly. Anyway, all that being said, hey, welcome to the show. And today we actually have an in-studio guest. What a show it's going to be. We have an in-studio guest, a fellow driver from the company that we work at, Pitt, Ohio. Today we're talking with Hector. Hector, how the heck are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I originally came on, emailed Jack. I was going to bring my wife with me.
Right.
And we were going to talk about the husband and wife working for the same company.
Dynamic.
How it's a terrible idea. Yes. But instead, my wife at the time wasn't as pregnant as she is today. So she wasn't unable to be here today. So Jack said, hey, why don't you come on and talk to us about your stuff? And
yeah.
Like, you know what? Let's do it. You've asked several times about, hearing different things from guys who maybe drive fire trucks.
Right.
Guess what I do when I'm not at work?
All right. Are you a volunteer fireman?
I am.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So
I think that's cool.
When I saw you and I said, hey, I got a couple things up my sleeve that I was working on.
That's fantastic. Like,
you didn't tell your dad, did you? So, yeah. So
no, he did not let me. That is a total surprise, dude. That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah.
So when you asked that, I'm like, hey, I got this.
Yeah.
So that's a fun thing. But, the biggest thing that was on the back of my mind was being that kid that grew up, right, went to a mega carrier, got a CDL, and just the growth progression. So that's a fun little, what was it, 2013. I was 23 years old. I was actually a repossession agent in the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I was.
How'd that work out?
Oh, I loved being a midnight thief.
Did you? Yeah.
I loved it.
I always wondered about that, what that's like. I mean, we used to talk to Susan from Chicago, if you heard some of the earlier shows, and she was, she was a tow truck driver, and she would do repossessions from time to time. It was just fun hearing the stories. I'm like, so you're always looking to get, it's like, that's just fun. It's at the same time, it's like, that's not my kind of, like, I'd be afraid of, I'm like one of those guys, it's like, no, that's okay. I like people. I don't like confrontations with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that job takes. It has, takes that
some
willingness.
De-escalation skills for sure. But
yeah,
you wouldn't know it. I mean, you've heard when you had Nevin, he coughed out my name, ship missed it.
Right.
But he coughed out my name about the CB. It's, listen, we're here to get a job done. It is what it is. At the end of the day. You're going to like it or you're going to hate it. It is what it is. I'm at your house taking your car for a reason. I'm doing my job because you couldn't do your job.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good way of putting it.
And a lot of people actually don't realize that the protection laws of the repossession agents are a lot like assaulting a police officer. You put hands on me, you do anything, the charges do carry similar
weight
to them.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there is a lot of protection offered. So it's not, just civil matter, which 9 times out of 10 it is just civil matter, but as soon as it goes hands-on or anything confrontational, there is actually legal weight that falls on it.
That's good to know. My cars are all paid off.
Pay your loan.
Good to
know. Pay your loan and shut up.
Are you listening?
Don't see us at midnight.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
So I was doing that. I said that was about 2013. So I'm working on 10 years since I went, but about that time frame, I joined the local fire department. I've switched since.
Okay.
But driving fire trucks is always fun.
I
tell everybody I joined the fire department because I like driving big trucks fast.
Yeah.
And some guys will tell you I don't drive them as fast as I should. Other guys will be like, dude, can you slow down a little bit?
We want to get there.
What do you want to do?
In one piece.
Yeah. You want to get there fast or you want to get there in one piece?
Yeah. You want to get there before the place burns down?
Correct.
Oh, really, I can slow down. It's a lot easier just doing it after it's burned down.
That's true.
Less effort needed.
But when you're stuck in traffic, though, that car accident, you have me blocked on the interstate or the highway. We service where I'm at. We do Route 22. We do 33.
Wow.
You'll eventually get there.
Yeah, we do get called to help on 78, depending on the magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the due regard even for getting to that scene to help open up the interstate where everybody's sitting and wants to get through. And everybody just sits there and goes, okay, what do you want us to do?
Right. Well,
yeah, the shoulder over there where I could go, but I can't get there because you have me blocked over here. So just give me an inch.
Yeah, just move. If everybody would just kind of move over. Once you start hearing the sirens, just start moving over or do something. Try and get out of the way.
No. You hear the sirens. That's like, everybody, we got to go. We got to go now because they're going to block
gonna
this all up.
They're going to shut this road down.
They're going to shut this shit down.
It's like, I think that's what everybody's mindset is.
Driving down the interstate. Oh, there's an accident. Oh, there's the police car. I got to get around because I'm going home now.
He's not going to flip around. Like, we got time.
They're still getting through on the shoulder. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we're doing that, and then there was it. 23 years old. I went. It was mid-July, July 13th. I packed my bags, and I went out to one of the mega carriers. went to their
Wisconsin.
No, I went to Burns Harbor, Indiana.
Okay,
CR England.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That was a fun Greyhound trip.
Yeah,
about 26 hours on the bus from Allentown out there.
No kidding.
You know, we work at Pitt, Ohio. We could probably get you there a little sooner.
We could just put you
yourself on a pallet, wrap you up, and away you go.
I'm secured to the pallet, though. That's
oh, yeah,
the key.
We would do that.
Don't worry, we'd strap you to the wall.
We'll band you down to the pallet if you want.
You know, we have Zach stop by, get a cardboard box. We'll put that right on the pallet.
we'll write your name on it and everything.
There we go.
Deliver to.
Yes.
Yeah. But real quick before I get into the whole CR England story. Growing up as a child, my father was a truck driver. My stepfather was a truck driver.
Brothers. It's so cool.
It's in the blood, like everybody says. It's in the blood. Either you got it or you don't. I'm at the point now, 10 years later, I'm ready to hang up the keys and go find something else. But like everybody else says, who's going to pay that much money?
That's the key.
Yeah, nobody's doing it.
Oh, so now it's a race.
Yeah,
me
who's hanging
him.
Up the keys first?
To me,
if I go first, you have a spot moving up.
To me, it's just a race every week to Thursday.
Yes. Paychecks
come in on a Thursday and it never bounces and it's always there. That's it.
And you're usually off on a Friday.
Well, you know, if I can be, usually.
Or if you see him Wednesday. Yeah, I'm not in the rest of the week. See him Monday.
See him Monday. But no, it's really cool. You know, it's interesting because like for me, it was total opposite. Nobody in my family ever drove truck. You know, it wasn't. So I was like the first, and then Tony became a truck driver. And after I was driving, my attitude was, I hope, you know, when he talked to me about it, I was like, you know, you're not going to have a life. You know, that's just truck driving. That's the way it's going to be. I never really wanted them to, you know, it was always frustrating to me. And, I hope that's not Mrs. going
no,
into labor.
No, I hit the wrong button. On my
oh, okay.
Watch,
that's fine. Yeah.
Everything.
You're good. Don't worry about it. But yeah, it was one of those weird things. But then when he started driving for him, it was so natural for him, and he just seemed to really take to it. And I was happy for him. You know, it wasn't necessarily what I had planned for my kids, but I was actually, you know, happy that he was doing it. It was like kind of cool because he and I would sit and talk, you know, where all these years that I've been driving, I have, you know, I don't really talk that much.
Nobody talked to you?
Well, I mean, I talk to my wife, or I talk to other drivers, but I would, you know, when I came home from work, you know, how was your day? It was my day. You know, you don't understand what I do. You don't know the people I work with. So, you
get this.
That
how was your day? Wonderful.
Right.
It was so when his son did, it was one less thing to talk to himself about.
Right, exactly. You know, it was one of those things. But then it was really cool when Tony started driving, and you know, it's like I've said this before on the show. There are moments in your life when you're driving that things happen that you don't realize the gravity of it, you know, and having, you know, being a volunteer fireman, this is one of those things that you'd appreciate, you know, we all would, because we're all drivers, we all would appreciate when, you know, I had an accident and I was nervous about the accident. I've said this before on the show. The gravity of what happened didn't hit me until I came home and I'm sitting at the kitchen table and my wife gets up because she was working, She works at Amazon, but she was working nights. So she got up in the afternoon and she goes, what are you doing up? I said, well, you know, I had an accident, and she started to cry. And all of a sudden the gravity of what could have happened, what could have transpired hits you, you know, and those are the things that I never wanted my kids to experience, you know, but at the same time, I can't protect everybody from everything all the time. You know, it's one of those lessons that you learn in life. Your kids grow up and they become people of their own. And I know this is kind of like a total aside. I don't mean to be hogging the conversation.
Good,
it was just really, it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, so you see both sides of that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going with this is, you know, you see the side of, okay, as a volunteer fireman, you see the side of the accidents that happen, and you see the side of, you know, the possibility of every day is, you know, potential, you know, that you don't walk home or you don't drive home, you don't get home. You know, and that's a scary proposition. And so for me, those are reasons that I didn't want my kids driving. I'm like, I know what I deal with every day. Don't drive. You won't have a life, and the potential is always there for something to happen. But at the same time, it's like, it's really cool. And I think it's fascinating when guys have, you know, their families or their dad, their uncle, their grandfather are drivers. I think that's fascinating because I didn't have that to come, that camaraderie to come home and talk.
Right.
And decompress and have somebody to talk with. You know, my brother, nobody in my family drove, You know, so it was, I think it's now sitting at looking at it now at the age I'm at now, I look at it, I'm like, I wish I'd have had that, you know? So anyway, that was a long way around to say, it's really cool that you do those two things.
Back to you, Hector.
I know, right? Here I am, back to Hector.
It's all good. It's actually with doing the fireman stuff, I didn't pass my hazmat right away.
Uh-huh.
Because when I'd sit down at the computer to do the test, I was in the wrong mindset.
Sure.
Because what we have to know on the defensive side versus what we have to know just to haul it down the road.
Sure.
It makes your brain just kind of melt and go into mush and go, what are you doing?
Yep, I bet.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And found out recently that there's a lot of companies actually kind of frowning upon drivers getting out doing the old school way. That was the point of saying, you know, what I came up in, the mm-hmm. old school way, I would call it. Because I remember the days you see an accident on the road, you're the first one there. You're going to get out and check on the people.
Sure.
You know, if it's in your heart, either you have it or you don't.
Yep.
And I know of a story recently where a driver pulled over on the side of the turnpike to check on somebody. And that person's company actually seen it in the camera and said, hey, man, we wish you never got out of your truck.
Really?
And that's kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, human nature, human compassion. To want to get out and help versus the company going, hey, we don't want liability because we're paying you right now.
Wow.
What do you do as a person?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, as a human being.
Yeah.
You know.
And just shows the tight spots that we get into anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was born in 90. So, you know, back in the late 90s.
Oh, boy, back in 90. Back when it was horse and buggy. Oh, 1990? Oh, excuse me.
1690. No. You know, if you got a flat tire in the car, you wanted motorcyclists or truck drivers to pull over.
Sure.
Now, nobody's pulling over to help you.
Nope.
You know, if you don't know how to change your own tire, you don't have a motor club to help you.
That's why there's Auto Club.
Yeah, but anymore the Auto Clubs, they're taking a long time to get to
you. They do.
That's why you always, that tire will stay on that car at least to the next exit.
That's
or
right.
The sheets, whichever comes first.
And I've seen people already driving them on the rims going down the road.
Yeah.
Just because they wanted to get off where they were. They didn't know any better. And you know, we think tractor-trailer drivers don't pay attention. Some of these car people, 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, listen, some of these highways that are completely pitch black at 2-3 in the morning, you're in the middle of nowhere. No, I'm going to an exit because why? I'm not going to get creamed on the side of the road that the fire truck's got to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so back to, you know, going through school with mm-hmm. CR England, that was fun. You know, there's always the horror stories. Don't do it. You know, you're going to go through this. You're going to go through that. It's like any other job.
Mm-hmm.
It's the experience that you make it.
Yep.
Now they provided my schooling. I had to give them, at the time, it was only 9 months. I don't know what they're at now.
It's not bad.
It was a 9-month commitment. I ended up doing 3.5 years there. I went through their school, graduated early, got my license early.
You know, okay.
Get the temporary Indiana stuff, come home, transferred all back to Pennsylvania. Did that. They called it a 17-day program. I think I tested out in like 11 days.
Okay.
Got my license, hit the road. I'm in the hotel. I call my first trainer, they give me his phone number. To this day, he's still one of my best friends. I was actually his best man in his wedding.
Wow.
He's out of Maryland. I call him. I say, hey, man, I'm at this hotel. I'm ready to go. Come get me. He goes, I'll be there in about 3 hours. I'm dropping off a student. I have to deliver in Chicago. This was on a Friday. He goes, I got to deliver in Chicago on Monday. I said, what are we doing Saturday and Sunday? He goes, you're staying at the hotel. I'm getting in the truck with you. We're going to go do something. You're going to deliver the load, and we're going to start this training thing.
Right.
So we actually spent the week just outside of Chicago, or the weekend just outside of Chicago in the truck, just getting to know each other.
That's really cool.
And it actually helped our bond come together. You know, you hear the stories about running team and all that other stuff. As trainers, especially, he was telling me, he goes, you know, some of these guys, I wouldn't sleep for weeks. Like, how you doing that? How you going down the road, not sleeping? But the first time I took the wheel, we were coming out of Indiana, going down into Georgia. We're going to Savannah, Georgia. He fell asleep 40 minutes from me behind the wheel.
Wow.
Knocked.
He was comfortable. He was
It's one of those, you know when someone's got it, you know when they don't have it.
Right.
So I bought my time there with him. It was the only time I ever went to California. We dropped into Sacramento, got a reload out of Lodi. I didn't leave anything there. I don't need to go back. Did Donner's Pass. We're coming up to it, I see the signs. 40 miles of whatever the downgrade is, 8.5, whatever it is, reduced gear. And I'm going, I know I'm a little tired, but did I really just read that? He goes, yeah, you did.
Wow.
Frap. But it wasn't bad. You know, being young, fresh, fully loaded, sure, scary. But
well, being you said you didn't have to chain up going up Donner's, this was in the summer.
this was end of July, beginning of August. So having the chains was the law, but nothing was flying at that time to get it done.
Right.
So we got done with that level of training. I had to go to my next level, next guy. They call it phase one, phase two.
Okay.
The phase two guy refused to drive at night, only would drive during the day, and always had to have his music blasting. I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. So, whatever. Got acclimated to driving nights real early, real quick. That was fun at the time, you know, over the road. What stunk was, you know, you're only making like 24 cents a mile to start.
Right.
And you get the family back home. You're not seeing them. You're on the road for the duration. So I think I was out three and a half months before I actually got to go home.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So that it wasn't fun at all. So I got through that. Once I got out of the training period, they're like, hey, we're starting this new dedicated route. It's going to go out of Manchester, right off 83. There's an Americold. It's going to run from there, and it's going to run the points in Boston. Okay, cool. Let's go do that. Jumped on that. I was home every weekend. No problem. I'd get home throughout the week. You know, I'd park the truck, go home, have fun with that. Did that for about 3 months. And I got with the guy who did intermodal, the driver manager who was in charge of the intermodal stuff.
Okay.
I was like, hey, you got an opening. He goes, I've been waiting for you to call. He goes, I heard you were coming through. I seen where you live. I want you. Cool. Got on that. Sat there for 3 years. It was great. Running right out of the intermodal rail yard in Bethlehem.
Right.
Had a whole bunch of fun doing that. Well, then a friend of mine found Carl. Let's go check this out.
Let's give this a whirl.
Yeah. You know, young, dumb, wanting to make money. It was more money than we were making.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. Everything was always the progression of trying to make more money.
Sure.
So go do the car hauling thing. I only lasted 2 weeks.
Really?
2 weeks. Cause it just, you know, I got towing experience. Yeah, you know, I could do this. I could do that. How hard could it really be? Well, when you're inspecting the cars, looking at every little fine detail, you know, we have guys that complain about looking at freight the proper way.
Right.
When you're looking at cars for scratches, nicks, crannies, whatever it may be, before you put it on your truck, deliver it to a dealership, inspect it again, you know, not to mention the tying down of the cars. You know, everybody, you know, just throw four straps on it, you're done. Sure, it sounds easy in theory, but anything anybody does sounds easy in theory until you actually go hands-on.
Yep.
So after like 2 weeks, I was like, hey, this isn't for me. Left that. Where did I go after that? See, that's the whole problem. And that was the point of wanting to talk was, you know, coming through it, coming out of the mega carrier and trying to get more money, you're always quitting jobs. You're always doing this. Yep. And for a while, your resume just looks like complete garbage.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, so you're doing 26 years at one company is like that's awesome. You know, I hope
it's a lot easier on the resume.
It is. It's a short resume.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a short story.
Yeah.
This isn't a novel.
Yeah. Yep. So I left there. I forget exactly what I did after that job, but I actually left trucking for about a year. I went in the 911 dispatching. Stayed there for a year.
Wow.
Then I had a friend move to South Carolina. He goes, hey, going with this LTL company. Why don't you come on down with me, see what it's all about.
Okay.
Go from there. Okay, dude. You know, I went down for 4 months, had an issue back home, had to come back home. I was just getting ready to get settled in with my own house and everything down there. Had to come back home. That LTL company is a national carrier, is Estes.
Okay.
So transferred back up home, terminal manager that was close to me, him and I didn't exactly get along. And I was like, forget it. I left. Left there, went with a warehousing company, and I ended up being a beer hauler.
Wow.
So I was hauling beer. I was loving that, you know, working 2 o'clock in the morning to whenever getting a load done, delivering for Sam Adams, Corona, whatever it may be.
Right.
We were going anywhere from Chantilly, Virginia to Long Island.
Wow.
Even into Manchester, Connecticut, and Hartford, Connecticut was the furthest north that we went.
Okay.
At the time. Sat there for a while. Almost 2 years. Yeah, I was there almost 2 years. Our director of transportation got fired. He went with a different company.
Okay.
He didn't get fired. There was another guy who came in who got fired in the midst, but that director of transportation left.
Uh-huh.
New guy comes in and says, hey, I'm closing your yard. Well, crap. What am I going to do for money? You know?
Right.
At that time, that was the best money I had made. And it was a little bit of panic. I called my wife. She was working part-time at Pitt. She was customer service. She goes, hey, they were just talking about looking for a driver now. I've been in. I've met all the bosses. They all know who I am. Called the terminal managers. Yep. Going to be looking for work. He goes, come on in. Let's talk. Something that's supposed to be short-term because I never thought that I'd want to work with my spouse. Right. I still to this day don't like the idea.
Don't want
to
work with your spouse? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, no, don't really want to do this. But, you know, here I am 2.5 years later, still here. I talk to my friends all the time. It's like, yeah, you know, I should leave there. I hate working with my wife. You know, I'll find any reason I can to bicker about it.
Right.
They pay us too damn well.
Yeah.
They really do. And with the home time, you know, the different start times, once you qualify for them, that's great. I lost my train of thought for a second there.
You didn't want to work with your wife.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so working with the wife's always terrible. So, of course, she went from part-time to full-time. That made it worse because she went on the overnight working next to the router.
Right.
So it's like, nope. Then she gets out of that, she actually left for a little bit. And I was like, cool. I was having fun. She left for like 3 months. Then she comes back. I'm like, no. Now she's working in the claims department. So it's always, hey, make sure you're looking for this. Make sure you're doing that. Do this. Do that. How much more are you going to put on my plate?
Yeah. Like, how about you do your job and I'll do my job?
Yeah. So like I said, that was the whole pretense of even emailing Jack was just, you know, come on with her and discuss it and just, how
therapy
trucking. Yeah.
This is marriage. This is what marriage therapy.
I just thought of this.
What's that?
It's the company's fault. It's the company's fault.
For what?
Your wife's situation now.
That she's pregnant?
Currently. Yeah. They're both home at night. There you go.
Yeah.
My word. Holy ship, you know.
Oh,
ship.
Thanks for stopping by.
It's been fun.
Let me know how that therapy works out.
We actually had someone ask us recently, back in February, we just celebrated our 20th year together, dating, you know, middle school sweethearts, all that stuff. Someone asked us, they're like, what's the secret? I looked at my wife. I'm like, yeah, what is the secret?
Working together.
She goes, I don't know. But yeah.
You can only be in jail for murder for 20 years. Yeah. Don't let you out.
But that's cool. That's 20 years with your wife and you work together.
Yeah.
And it hasn't ended it yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
It should be more enthusiastic.
Correct.
Oh, that's funny. That is that but it's different. It's really one of those different things. So, you know, that's not something, you know, I mean, there are drivers who drive that, you know, they drive with their spouse.
Right.
Which is another level that, you know, that personally, I mean, I mean, we've had Jamie and Johnson on and they're a team, you know, they run together. They're you know, out of state people, you know, they're just very nice people. And
over the road.
Yeah. And God bless them. I mean, I think it's fantastic that they do that. You know, they get along, they have a great, you know, they seem to really have a good relationship, great time. They enjoy doing it. And I just think to my, you know, and it's just me, you know, I mean nothing derogatory, but I couldn't do that. I love my wife.
Right.
But I couldn't, you know, just, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, that's just me, but I wouldn't want to be in a cab with anybody else. You know, like I wouldn't want to have a team. I wouldn't want to be a team driver. I wouldn't want to, you know, just.
Well, it sounds like it's all about you.
It is all about me.
How dare you want to drive in your car?
I know, all by myself.
But yeah, no, that had me thinking about it, you know, when Jack's like, hey, how about you come on yourself? And I was like, well, you know, we could talk about the fireman thing.
Yeah.
How that goes and just the level of training and everything you have to go through.
So, sure.
You know, all those trainings and certification processes. There's nothing set in stone. Like the FMCSA regulates us with our CDL.
Okay.
There's nothing that really regulates. I mean, you have the NFPA that does regulate the fire world.
Okay.
You know, but those are just merely, a lot of people tell you their suggestions. There's people that use them religiously. But if you look what's set in stone and what constitutes, there's not much there.
Wow.
So if you go through the training and the actual certification process, it's a long time depending which certifications you go for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an endless book of certs that you could get. And there's a lot of training academies or whatever. They're community colleges, actually, I was thinking of. You go through the training academy for the community college. You can take your certifications and actually turn them into a college degree.
Wow.
So there's a lot of truck drivers, you know, oh, I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to do that. Well, guess what? If you have a volunteer fire department near you, they're looking for you. They want to talk to you. If you're willing to give them time, do the training requirements that they require for you, you could take those requirements and you could still get a college degree without actually going to a college.
No kidding. That is, I had no idea.
Yep.
Huh. That's crazy.
It all depends which way you want to go with it.
Right.
How you want to do it.
Right. Now, how long you been doing that? Like, how long you been a volunteer fireman?
I've been with this company for 5 years. I was with my previous company for 4 years.
Okay.
And it's just like anywhere else. You have your politics that destroy stuff. And
yeah.
People come, people go. You know, it's just how it is.
Sure.
Doesn't matter what industry you're in, whether you're firefighting, whether you're driving truck, whether you're working McDonald's, corporate world. There's a revolving door for whatever reason.
Sure.
So that's always there for you.
Which makes it interesting. Keeps you young. Keeps everybody in the company not getting too much longevity. You know.
You have some where they have their seniority. You know, they've been there all their life. There's a guy now we have, he's 90 years old. He's got over 50 years.
Wow. In the company. Wow.
Over 50. That's over half his life dedicated to community service, just first responder field.
Wow.
It's awesome. That man there, you could sit and talk with him for hours.
Oh, my word. I bet. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Does he doesn't still go out on calls?
Nope. But he is still active behind the scenes.
That's amazing.
He is one of our fire marshals. He's actually our lead fire marshal.
Okay.
So if we need him to come out, he will come out with somebody and, you know, do what he's got to do on his end. But he does the building engineering stuff, building maintenance, you know, fixing things. It's what he's did all his life. He's an engineer. And
wow.
He designed stuff from what I've told. I haven't asked him myself, but from what I've been told, he designed stuff that even NASA had used.
Wow.
So it's really cool. The guy's really smart. A lot of knowledge coming.
That is, when you just think about the depth of experience that someone who's been doing something for 50 years has, it's just like, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the things what kind of stuff is in his memory banks? You know, his own personal, what he's seen, what he's done, what he's experienced, all of that. You know, I mean, you know, we joke around, you know, in the trucking industry, it's like we're looking for, you know, the next 5-10 years. And then it's like, you know, retirement time, you know, that's a guy who's like, I'm not retiring.
Yep.
You know, I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. And I get there's a quality of life that I have. And if there's an expectation from myself that I have, and I love doing what I'm doing. Cause apparently he loves doing what he's doing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you didn't, you wouldn't be doing it for 50 years.
Exactly.
You know, that's amazing.
It's like we've talked about with truck drivers. We all say, well, if it's in you, it's in you. If it's not, it's not.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And where people have to find their happiness, their inner peace.
Yeah.
And really just grow it from there.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah, it's one of those things. As a driver, sometimes we don't look at drivers as being that introspective.
Mm-hmm.
But we really are, you know, because we have a lot of time to think. You know, you got your travel time, like you guys who do, you know, the P&D, you have your travel time from where you're going to where you're going to be starting your run and where things are going to be going. At nighttime, it's just constant in your head, you know, because you're constantly in your own head, you know, so you find things to listen to. But then those things spur thoughts in your own head. You know, if you listen to any kind of news or any kind of podcast or any kind of, you know, there's so much out there nowadays, which, you know, when I first started driving truck, podcasts, it wasn't, you know, you're lucky if you had a radio in your truck that worked.
Right.
You know, that you could get the AM stations and, you know, try and find something to listen to at night, you know. Now there's just so much out there, and it just spurs into you, you know, it gets into your head, and you think you have time to think about things. You have time to look at stuff. You have time to examine your life, and, you know, do you like where you're going, you know? You almost feel like, you know, I can't remember the lady's name that sang the song. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? You know, it's like, really, I know it sounds goofy, but sometimes you actually do, you need to stop and assess your life. You know, is this the direction I want to go? You know, and sometimes it's just it's like marriage. You know, either you're going to make this thing work or you're not going to make it work. It's going to be what you put into it.
Right.
You know. My wife and I are married 35 years this year, and it's like it's either going to be or it's not. Either you're going to make it work, and That doesn't mean that it's been sunshine and roses, you know, for the past 35 years. Trust me, it hasn't been.
Right.
You know, that's the reality. But it's like that in the trucking industry. It's like that in whatever you're deciding to do. You have to make it a point to say, I'm going to make of this the best I can. You know, this job can be frustrating. It can be irritating. It can be, you know, and this job can be fantastic and it can be, you know, awesome and a great living.
Yeah.
It's what are you going to make of it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely a lifestyle. You know, I did the freight haul. Well, everything's technically freight hauling. Your RV going down the road's technically freight hauling.
Sure.
But from the reefer CR England
to yeah.
the car hauling, the one that I couldn't remember when I left all that, mm-hmm. I went and drove a grain wagon for a local guy.
No kidding.
Started in, I think at the time they were just engaged, his fiance's truck, just running grain. So right. I learned agricultural, you know, running 95,000 pounds on the ag permits.
Wow.
And you know, delivering to the feed mills.
Yeah.
Getting the feed ready for the livestock to eat.
Get the heck out.
I eventually worked up to his show truck. You know,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Big stretched out Peterbilt, you know, cool, big flashy truck, right?
Right.
That's when I learned real quick. Flashy trucks don't pay the bills.
Nope.
It's real cool when you're young. You want to drive them.
It looks 18 cool.
speed, 6NZ cat, like
right.
awesome truck. You know, triple digit truck if you needed it to.
Uh-huh.
You know, heavy hauling, awesome. All the fun stuff. But when you're sitting there and you're looking at the paycheck, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it looks cooler than it is.
Yeah. I gotta go get the money. I mean, he's a great guy.
Sure, of course.
But unfortunately, just in the ag world, especially with what he was paying me, he was barely cutting a profit.
Wow.
So how are you going to run a business and yep. pay an employee? Like, no, it just, you know, you feel bad for him because you don't want to run him down in the ground.
Right.
And you want more money for you.
Yep.
Which everybody runs their business model different. I mean, now mm-hmm. today he's grown because he wanted to, you know, he grew everything. He's doing great. You know, still talk to him pretty constantly.
That's cool.
You know, if he needs help, I'll help him here and there, but
mm-hmm.
tell him no driving. So I want to have to do that after hour reporting and
yep.
all that documentation. Yeah, it's not just a little loose leaf log anymore. Now you got to go and put it on the computers. And that's the one transformation that me personally, I didn't like with growing up and you seeing everything on the paper
yep.
versus the ELD. It's like, why are we doing this? You know, why is a computer telling an OTR guy when to go to sleep?
Right.
Or before you go down the road, you catch a nap, whatever, you're good to go, drive a couple more out. Now it's, oh, you can only drive this long and you have to be done by then. That's no fun.
Right.
That's no fun. Yeah. And with us, with what we do now, well, with what I'm involved with now for work, mm-hmm. you know, we fall under the air mile exemption. So
right.
technically, we don't have to run them. So when our computers right. aren't working, it's, oh, you're good, just go. Yeah, but now I have to sit here and explain to them where I'm from, where I left, why I was there, why my computer is not working.
Yep.
It's a headache. It really
is. Yeah, I can imagine, yeah. It's got to be frustrating.
I wish I would have listened to my neighbor that I ended up moving down south with for a while. He tried to get me to come to this company years ago.
Okay.
I never wanted to get my hazmat. Never wanted to do it. Didn't want to deal with it. To me, it was too big of a headache.
Right.
Now I got it. I'm like, man, I should have came years ago. I could have stopped my wife from coming here and have a pretty good paycheck going on. But, you know, didn't work out.
Take notice how it wasn't the paycheck first and then stop his wife. It was, you know, so what's really in your mind?
yeah, it's fun every now and again, depending on the day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, it, you know, it's the day-to-day grind mm-hmm. that, you know, one day is going to be okay and one day is going to be, well, you know, who knows? You know, not so much a lot, you know, as Shipper would say.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things and you just have to deal with it. And you make the, like I said, you make the best of it, you know, because that's what you do. That's what your living is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's all you can do.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, like I tell my kids, this isn't necessarily what I want to do, but it's what I do so we can live a life. It's not what I wanted to do all my life, but this is what we do so that we can have a life.
Right.
You know, it's not always your druthers. You know, I never saw myself as a truck driver. I was installing security systems. I got laid off. I was out of work for a while and I was like, what am I going to do? And I don't remember how it came up. I saw a thing for, going to truck driving school and learning how to drive a truck. And I was like, I got nothing else going on. I got, you know, two kids that I got to feed and a wife I got to take care of, you know? So, okay. It was funny because like that decision did not make my parents happy. It didn't make my mom happy. She was all worried about, you know, what it's going to be. Oh, driving truck is dangerous. Is this, is that, you know, all these things. And for the first, I still get phone calls from family. Every time it snows, you guys working tonight? Yeah. I mean,
packing clothing bags. Well,
you think it, you know, because it snows, we don't work. This isn't school.
Right.
You know, I don't have, you know, a 9-to-5er in the office. And if it snows, I'm just going to call and tell them I won't be in today. It's just not the way it is. It, you know, it was one of those things that frustrated me.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I mean, it is for me, but you know.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I just want to clarify that.
Hey, isn't there snow in the forecast this week and you weren't there for half a week?
Can I help it if my kids move into Tennessee the same week that we get the only snow of the year? Just worked out that way. You know, I was like, oh, whatever. You know, what am I going to do? But it is the reality of it. It's like, you know, it was one of those, every time there was snow in the forecast, I'm getting a phone call. I knew who it was.
Yep.
And this is before I had a cell phone. The phone would ring that night. I knew who it was. It's my mom. She's calling to say, are you guys running tonight? Yeah, mom. We're working tonight. Yep. You know that. You know.
Or when you have family down south, I have, you know, a couple really good friends that live in Florida.
Sure.
So when it snows, I just turn the phone off, put it to the side, because I already know who's calling. Yeah. And I already know why.
Exactly. But that's, yeah, that's life. It's the job. It's what we do.
Yep.
You know? And, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things that you kind of grow numb to it after a while. You worry about it. I mean, you worry about it every time you see snow in the forecast. You just do. I don't know about you guys, but I do. I don't know about Shipper, but, you know, it's not that you worry. I don't mean like, oh, I sit and fret it, but, you know, you're concerned. It's like, what's going to happen at night?
But
you know, how's the bad is
going
to be?
That's the thing, too. You have experience driving, especially in the weather. You
know, yeah.
With where we live, weather happens.
Yep.
But it's not you that you have to be worried about.
No, it's
the other people
on
the road.
It's what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, there was a tour that I just did recently. I was in transitioning. I was going to come to line haul.
Okay.
I was working on it, but with where I fell in seniority, the run that came to me, I was like, no, I wanted to get home earlier in the morning, not earlier in the afternoon to go to sleep for 3 hours to come back in. So
yeah.
I hung that one up, but you know, with that one going up north into Massachusetts every night, just the stuff that you would see on those interstates, it's like, wow. Really?
Yep.
Like, this is happening right now.
Yeah.
And you say it all the time. Nobody would believe you the stories if you told them.
Yep. Exactly.
Trucks on fire, rolling down the road, cars rolling over, you know, whatever the case may be, what everybody's seen out there.
Yep.
Some of it just, it sounds made up and it's like, no.
No, it's real.
Usually error by somebody. It
yep.
may not be you, it's the other person, or, you know, maybe you hit your brakes or something because you seen something, so you were prepping for it.
Right.
The person behind you panicked, and now suddenly they're crashing behind you while they're crashing in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. It makes you think, makes you wonder.
It does. It does make you think, you know, that if is every day.
Correct.
It just is an everyday event for us, you know, as a driver, for everybody who drives.
That if's an every minute, every day scenario.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it starts with an if, and you hope it's going to...
It starts with an if and ends with, what the f***?
Yes, sir. What are you thinking? You know, and you know, when you think about, there are things that happen that are out of people's control.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get that. It's the things that you can control that you see as a driver when you look down and you see somebody on their phone. You see the texting. You see the, you know, they're reading a book. They're doing whatever, you know, anything but paying attention. You know, they're doing everything but paying attention.
The advancement of phones and social media has definitely destroyed our society.
Yeah,
and you could see it on any of the social platforms. There's companies out. I think it was like Indiana, Illinois.
Uh huh.
The ones that I've seen happen to be Cadence Transportation had trucks in it with troopers in it.
Wow.
And they were out doing enforcements where they're driving down the road.
Yeah.
They seen someone texting. They radio ahead. And, you know, they were, quote unquote, doing their job, right?
Right.
People were getting mad about it because, oh, they're out there, you know, it's entrapment.
It's entrapment, right. I didn't,
but when they see that person texting, it's, where are the police doing their job? They're literally right there.
Yep.
You know, you could see the drivers in the track trailers. You could look up and see a police uniform. It's not like they're wearing clothes like you and I are, uniforms or whatever. They're wearing their job uniforms. You know it's them. You know you're passing them.
So I remember going through Connecticut, and they're on the overpass with the binoculars that take digital pictures.
Yeah.
They're looking down at the car to see if they have their cell phone in their hand.
Wow.
And then they're after them.
Yeah. I know. I know we had, you know, we had a driver who got in trouble for taking his seatbelt off, and the the police officer was on the bridge and saw that he didn't have his seatbelt on and came up behind him. Mm-hmm. And he got, you know, got a ticket for it. And it, I mean, the guy wasn't, it's not like he was on the road. He was standing on the bridge watching, you know, watching right. traffic go by. Yep. And, you know, it's like that's, but it's come to that point. We're at that level.
It's that stupid policing policy that has to be implied
because
to get most of these idiots to get to comply,
to pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah. You hear it all the time. You just try to maintain, you're just trying to maintain the speed limit.
Yep.
Just the speed limit. The guy in front of you is speeding up, slowing down, speeding up, slowing down.
Oh yeah.
The like, tech swerve.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
Yeah. You know, back before the advancement of cell phones and everything, you could imply there was other things going on inside the car. You know, sure. maybe drunk driver, maybe whatever the case
may be. Yeah, whatever's going on.
Now something. It's like, all right, dude, put your freaking phone down. Let's get going. Like, yep. Just get out of my way so I can keep going home. Yeah. You want to crash? Go do it over there, you know, out of the way.
Let me pass you.
I get to the fire department to come back out to get you.
To get you. To save your butt.
That actually happened when I was on the intermodal with CR England.
Uh-huh.
We was on a back road. And I was heading home for the night.
Okay.
Watched this guy go up. He crashed. I'm like, well, might as well go get the truck ready. By the time I even got to the station, they were able to call it in. So there, I come back in the fire truck.
Wow.
To tend to that accident. It's like, then of course I got in trouble for driving the tractor trailer. It was just the tractor.
Right.
But they still didn't like that I showed up with that. I'm like, well, do you want me to come with that or not? Like, you want me there or not? Like, that's what I was driving at the time.
Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. It's your choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people wear capes. You wear different hats.
And a lot of them, apparently.
Trying to take some of them off and hang them up.
Yeah, it's always a nice thing.
You look at quality time with your family and everything. It's like, okay, I do this, I do that. I do this, I do that. Wait, I'm a truck driver for actual money.
Oh, right.
Crap. You know, where do you find the time to do everything else?
I can't come in today because I got life going on. You know, I can't make any money today.
Right. Right.
Tomorrow's not looking any better either.
Yeah.
It's life. Life happens, and we have to, you know, we have to be engaged in it, you know.
Yep.
So
quickly and rapidly, just, all you can do is just pay attention and you know, make sure that you're being safe going down the road.
Amen. That is it, because that's what it's all about. It's not just about the destination. It's about the journey.
Yeah.
How'd that sound for a deep thought?
Too deep for me.
Oh man, that's just great. No, it's amazing. So what kind of stuff have you seen being a volunteer fireman? I mean, what kind of stuff? I mean, you get to traffic accidents and stuff like that.
We get traffic accidents all the time.
I mean, that's got to be heartbreaking at times, frustrating at times, you know, because
you have to remove your personal feelings out of it, and you have to rely on your training.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to, because if you hesitate, someone's going to die.
Yeah. Right.
Using your training, you could save a life. You know, I've never had any credited saves or anything, mm-hmm. but I've been with crews who have,
sure.
you know, because of our actions, you know, as a team, whatever, guys who've gone hands-on, cut people out of cars, you know, right. whatever the case may be, which, you know, that's all fun. Well, not really fun, but
it's part of the job.
When you can be depends which side of the vehicle you're on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're looking at a car going, all right, how am I going to cut this one apart to get the person out?
Oh my God.
You get the sum of them and you're looking at them. Wait, that driver walked out of there themselves and they're over there talking right now? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I can imagine.
So you see it all. You know, there's ones that aren't as fortunate, the ones that don't go home.
Right.
The ones that go home. You know, the crashes are really a lot of what I go on. I was recently at a fire. There was a car fire in the parking lot of a trampoline park.
Okay.
They call it in, two cars on fire. Both are supposedly fully involved. I'm on the back of the truck for this one. I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? We get over there. You're fully involved and my fully involved are going to be two totally different definitions.
Right.
So I'm looking, I'm like, oh, that's supposed to be fully involved. And I'm just, eventually I get the hose in my hand and I'm putting the fire on. Within 45 seconds, the fire was out.
Wow.
And so we could put them out quick if we can get there quick.
Sure.
But also the evolution of material and everything, cars are burning up a lot quicker.
Right.
Just like the materials in your own home, they're burning a lot quicker, a lot hotter. The electric vehicles is a whole nother issue to first responders. And they're trying to put in these safety aspects. They are doing classes on them. They are teaching us, you know,
how to cut them apart. I mean, cutting them apart. first thing you do when you get to, you know, I know from towing, first thing your fire department's doing when you're getting to on scene to an accident,
yeah,
you're cutting the power supply out of the battery. Now, right. You don't want to take them cutters and be cutting one of them electric cars. You're going to get whacked on. You're going to get whacked on your ass from, you know, that's a lot of voltage going through there.
So there is actually a disconnect that they teach us to get to.
Right.
Oh, and, wow.
I remember when they first, what the hell was it that was doing, I guess, Toyota? It must have been the Prius. It must have been the Prius.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they didn't realize, you know, because it was in the newspaper.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that it was a hybrid. Yeah, hybrid. They just thought it was a normal car. And they went and they actually cut cable underneath the car.
Okay.
And it was the main battery. And there was firemen that were injured from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's lines running where you wouldn't think to look.
Yeah.
Or know to look, obviously, if you don't know where you're looking. Sure. But yeah, you bring up a good point, though. You know, you said about the cutters and everything. These newer cars, the class that I took, it was 2 years ago when I did my research on it, the Tesla was the subject for us. They actually taught us to not use our hydraulic tools. They want us to go in with diamond blades on the miter saws.
Wow.
Go with the diamond blades and make our cut points and gain access that way.
No.
Because of the material, the precious materials that they're making everything out of.
Wow.
It's destroying equipment. It's breaking the cutters. It's breaking the spreaders. And the hydraulics just can't size up to it.
Right.
I had no idea.
You would think, you know, this is me just thinking, spitballing here. You would think that they would have like the disconnects, like around NASCAR or on the drag cars. Because, you know, those fire apparatus guys, that's the first thing they're doing is, you know, they're pulling the emergency disconnect and it depowers, you know, the vehicle. You know, granted, it's gasoline, but
right,
some aspect of that, you know, like an emergency breaker box, per se.
Yeah, even on the gas engines, you know, first there's two guys that are going just to cut the battery. You have everybody else tending to the patient, hazard control, whatever. But there's guys that are
there's guys that are just going to open to try to get the hood open to disconnect.
Yep.
Off the battery.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, God forbid, one of those electrics go up in flames, that's another thing they really harped on. I have watched since. It seems like the numbers are kind of getting better a little bit in that.
Okay.
But to put an electric car fire out, they need 8 hours of continuous water. So you need to dedicate guys for 8 hours to continuously spray water on this car. It's why you see a lot of news articles about, oh, they just dumped it in the retention pond and they're telling the public not to go near it. They're going to come back and get it in a couple of days.
Wow.
They were still, at the time, they were still trying to get to a point of, you know, fire safety in them.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly where they are. I listened to a recent episode where it seems like there's a guy who's really knowledgeable in that and I want to go talk to him about it.
Right.
So I know he's probably banging his head off the steering wheel right now going, no, stop. So I want to go talk to him about it to see what he knows. But just from what they taught us, though, there's still a lot of education across the board.
Sure.
You know, even with education across the board, we have tractor trailers that are natural gas powered.
Right.
I don't see any actual classes on teaching first responders on how to deal with this.
Wow.
There's a couple companies in the area. Oh, yeah, we have them. You know, call us. We'll come over and we'll talk to you about them. You call them, nobody calls you back.
Right.
They're supposed to show up. Nobody shows up.
Huh.
It's like, come on. You want to teach. You know, you want to protect your people as much as we want to be there.
Sure.
To protect. What are you going to do?
You're the one that has the natural gas, you know, powered truck.
Right.
You know, you're the guys that are going to be responding to the call.
Right.
Show us how this works. You know?
Help us help you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow, I didn't even realize that, you know, an EV car fire that, you know, that was an 8 hour, you know, pouring water on it for 8 hours.
From what they told us, there was junkyards where they were taking these cars after car accidents and everything. Yeah. And
now Mike Dre is off the steering wheel.
they'd have them in these junkyards for holding whatever, and fire department's going back and putting more water on them.
Wow. So it just, I mean, it's just the residual power in the battery that just reignites everything? Is that what So they know what's going on. Like
that's kind of what they're telling us. They were trying to pin it more on the precious metals that were within everything. So that's where it's like, you know, what is the actual adoption here? What can we
actually and you don't know if this electric car per se was, for lack of a better word, depowered.
Right.
You know, if it was actually disconnected. You know, if it's a twisted, mangled mess and they just push it, you know, into a storage yard, you still got that battery voltage going.
Sure. Yeah, and it's still charged, whatever charge is left in it. So holy cow. I never thought about that. You know, it's just one of those things that you don't ever really think about.
Yeah.
You know,
that's one of the things I wanted to ask Mike about that too, about, you know, emergency disconnects on them. You know, one day I'll make a list.
Make sure you write it down like he was writing it down.
Right. but don't forget your thing at home.
Right.
Yeah. they do have them.
I'll just etch it in here on a desk.
There you go.
That way it's here.
They do have them. You just have to know where to look. So
I imagine they've got to have it.
Yeah, and you got to do your research on it. You know, you look at precious metals.
Yeah.
You could look on YouTube. You could see all the videos and everything, the lithium and how it reacts with the water.
When
you
go
on, what was it, the Hondas or Toyotas many years ago, they had the precious metal within the steering column.
Uh-huh.
And when you would go in and spray in the compartment fire, it would just get so bright you'd basically go blind because of the water reacting with the metal.
Wow.
So it's like, what do I do here?
Right.
You know?
What, I got to wear welding glasses?
Shield down.
Holy cow.
So nobody really thinks about that, you know?
Yeah.
The what ifs, you know, what if something happens to me? What do I do to get out of that circumstance if nobody else could be there to get me out, let alone the guys coming? Do they know what's going on?
Right.
And yes, there's a lot of well-trained departments out there. There's a lot of training out there.
Sure.
But you get into some of those rural areas, I would really question, you know, who's coming to help me in my time of need.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, that's an aspect of this that we don't really talk about. We don't really think about. We just, you know, we're at a point in our evolution of vehicles that, you know, we're trying to get more people to do electric vehicles, but we don't, you know, do people really know? Like, these are questions that, you know, do we have an answer to now? Do we have, or is this still just a question up in the air? Is this actually something that we're addressing now, which I assume we're addressing it as we go.
Right.
You know, but
it's a lot of reactive rather than proactive.
Sure.
You know, earlier I said you could go anywhere and look at the training standards on anything, right?
Yeah.
In your time of need, if I show up to help you, are you going to go, oh, do you have XYZ certification before you can help me?
Right.
No. All you know is you're in trouble. You need help. I show up on a fire truck. Yes. I better know what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah. I need somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
You know, at that time in my life, at that moment, I need somebody who knows what in the world's going on.
Right.
And what needs to be done. It's not the time that you know, okay, they arrived in the fire truck, but now they got to go on Google and they got to check it out and see, well, what are we doing in this instant? You know?
Yeah. Oh, he's driving an electric car. Do I get a fire extinguisher? Do I get the water?
Right.
What do I do? No, you got to know.
You got to know. You got to know when you hit the place.
In the meantime, somebody pulls over because they slept at Holiday Inn Express last night.
This is I'm amazed, it's a dumb question, but do they actually carry like foam? Do they use foam on that type of stuff? You know, so like the foam suppressors?
They used to use foam years ago, but then they found out it's cancerous. Oh.
Yes, the level of foam that they were using.
No kidding.
The ARFFF.
I had no idea.
A carcinogen engine. Yep.
Wow.
I know our trucks, yes, we do carry foam. First thing we're going to obviously do is identify what's on fire.
Sure.
We do have different chiefs that are specialized in different areas and they're there way before we are.
Right.
So they're letting us know what we're coming in. We call it a size up.
Okay.
They're letting us know what's going on as we're approaching. So if I'm in the driver's seat that day, my first thought is, okay, I have a fire. I make sure I secure a water source. You know, don't want to run out of water. Trucks only carry, some are 500 gallons. You know, others are 300 gallons.
Okay.
Some may carry up to 2,000 gallons. It all depends on the spec of the truck.
Sure.
But no matter what, if you're going to a fire, you don't want to run out of water.
Yep.
So, okay, I'm going in with water. Oh, crap, I have a precious metal on fire. I have to use foam. Now, if I'm going to use the foam on my truck, I need to make sure I have more foam coming.
Okay.
Because the last thing you want to do is start fighting with foam, stop, and then have to re-engage it. It's basically you lose everything you did.
Sure.
So you want to make sure you have enough to go after it. But that's where the hazmat end of all that comes in. So that's where you have the hazmat versus being a trucker hazmat. you know, oh, do this, don't do that. It's like, well, if I was on the defensive end, I'm going to do this instead of that.
Right.
And like I said, that's where I failed the test for truck driving a couple of times on the hazmat. It's like, oh, yeah, wrong.
Yeah,
wrong
the two thought. Things get crossed in your head. It's like, yeah, it's understandable. I mean, you're looking at it from the two different perspectives. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, to me, that's a natural, you know, because even now, you know, when you think about doing what you do during the day, you know, your daytime gig, you know, being a truck driver, and you have to, you know, you got to remember, okay, how do I placard this vehicle? I placard this vehicle? You know, all those things. And you don't need that non truck driving aspect of it seeping in, you know?
Especially when you're dealing with hazmat, because you forget one thing. That one thing you forget could be what, $300 fine on paper?
Right. Exactly.
You gotta make sure you're paying attention and doing that properly.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's crazy. I honestly never thought about that aspect of all of that stuff. You know, what do you have to know? And, you know, understanding what you're dealing with, having a grasp on that, you know, when you're dealing as a firefighter.
Well, that's why the response guide, emergency, the
DERG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually the same book that the guy in the front right seat of the fire truck is looking at coming down the road.
Oh, no kidding.
That's why, you know, they teach. I actually don't understand why we have the ERG in our trucks.
Right.
Because when we need to go for it, it's already going to be too late for us.
Right.
But the guys coming in, they can look at that and go, yeah, this driver's screwed. You know, try to get to you a little quicker. Yeah. Or, you know, they're coming in going, all right, well, we're going to need this resource.
I mean, I guess that's why we have them in there in the event that, I would say, a spill per se.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, a fire situation.
All bets are off.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, it's every man for himself. You're just trying to get out of it without burning up, you know? Yeah.
Right.
But, and you know, and other people in the nearby area, a moth? Because there's bright light, you're driving towards it.
Yeah.
You know, that's your own stupidity then at that point, you know? That's just me saying this.
Yeah. That's funny.
But, you know, yeah, because, you know, the fire department coming out, they're the ones that are going to, all right, we need to secure a mile radius or whatever. Evacuate, you know, I mean, look at what happened in, you know, down over in Ohio, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my
word, how that whole thing escalated.
Yeah.
That escalated from a bad wheel bearing. And the sense, supposedly from what I hear, it was a bad wheel bearing and the sensor detected that train wheel was getting hot.
Right.
And they were slowing the train down. Well, when I looked at train wheels, they were metal brake shoes. Metal on the metal wheels is going to create friction, which is going to create even more heat.
Sure.
Stay tuned. We're going to get the full report on it.
And that report will take years to come
out.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. You know, I mean,
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but, you know, they told everybody to air it. You know, New York was okay to breathe. I saw that black shit.
Right.
You know, that's like a love canal up in the, what was that, early 70s?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know, they dug that and decided, oh, let's burn this off.
Right. Right. It's crazy.
You know, and then screw it. You know, them people.
You're going to go no matter what. We're going in now. We're on our way.
Those people that say, you know, we need to regulate what's on the trains and everything. Well, lady or
gentleman.
Pete.
Person.
Yes.
That train can haul a lot more, you know, if we want to be the carbon footprint people that we want to be and ride our bicycle 1 mile from the spot we need to be at and use our, you know, Tahoe to get there. It's going to take 10, 12 trucks to haul what that one train car's hauling.
Yep.
Yep.
To go to the incinerator to burn the shit. That's where those train cars were going with that stuff. Mm-hmm. They, you know, these people have no grasp of what goes on the rails.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to take them off the rails, you're clogging the shit up out of the highway.
Yeah.
You're bitching now. You're not getting your Amazon package on time. Wait.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
true. By the way, Amazon has containers that come on the trains and get transported back and forth.
Just saying.
But not about the Amazon. Okay. Yeah. What I don't understand is if you look at those containers, the actual Amazon containers, where the placards are, they got slide in placards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Okay. They're at the roof of the container.
Do you know why that is?
Well, I'm sure they probably have some kind of catwalk or whatever that they'll placard at the rail yard. Mm-hmm. But if this somebody's picking this stuff up, you know, say at a port.
Right.
What the fuck are they getting up there?
Ladders.
What kind of a ladder? Because I'm not going on a Warner ladder and climbing up there. You know what I'm saying?
Your regular 12-foot A-frame?
Bullshit. That's not OSHA safe. Thank you.
There's a stop in Newark that we go to. It's a chemical place.
Yeah.
They load containers.
They might climb up on a 12-foot ladder, but you know what? My big bone body is going to hit the ground a lot quicker than, you know, a little 50-pound guy.
But they have those up, and I've watched them go up and do that.
There should be some kind of racking facility system
that does it, that goes up and puts them in.
And he's tethered?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
You'd like to think they were. But the ones that I have seen, no. But why they're up so high on those containers, when they're transporting them on the rail, they actually go into well cars. So the container actually sits down.
Right.
You know, which makes sense to us. You know, it's level with the track, all that.
Sure. Yeah, it's slow center of gravity because they're stacking two on each other.
Right. But so you could still see it. You have your four sides of visibility on it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not stacking down in that rail car because the rail cars are in Harrisburg. You know, it's not stacking down the first containers, you know, over halfway.
No.
You know, sunk down.
It depends on the car. It really does. I spent time at the intermodal rail yard as a jockey when I was 18. I was there for a little bit of time.
Uh-huh.
But
I just find it kind of funny. I'm thinking, I'm going to say about 79 to 80% of those containers, they ain't blackering.
No. Yeah. No, there's a lot of them. You see them leaking going down the road. You're like, what's that coming out? No placards. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Definitely you hope for the best.
But I literally saw three Amazons.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, with the placards way up. And I'm like, how the hell are you getting up there?
Right.
Somebody's got a space pack?
Well, then again,
maybe maybe Jeff's giving the driver's space jet pack to get up there.
Jet pack. But then you have to ask, you know, you have to wonder then at the same time, is somebody going up there to unplacard those? Or is that somebody just forget about unplacarding and there's nothing hazmat on that container. You know,
what caught my eye, they were sliding placards. They weren't flips. They were slide-ins.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
For those people that are listening to the show that have no idea what we're talking about, Google it.
And Ship, all I'm going to say is we have to placard our own trailers. We don't get somebody else doing it for us.
The city guys?
Yeah. It's a little line haul jab there.
Well...
Uh-oh.
Okay. Let me tell you, there's something there, Fire Marshal Bill.
There's a reason why we sell those placards in all the trucks.
Okay, Fire Marshal Bill, when that trailer leaves the dock and it's loaded and it's parked in the yard, it should be properly placarded so that you, Fire Marshal Bill, and your buddy Fred can come to the parking lot in case something's on fire and know what's going on.
Now, so, how many times on a Monday morning do I hook up to a hazardous trailer?
I don't care what time.
Question, yeah.
Not my problem, not my monkey.
We placard ours, you know, for the most part.
Not my service.
Every now and then, if it's something that was loaded and put in the yard for you, and then I've seen them send the guys out later on, when they're done on the dock, they'll flip placards. You know, it happens. But, you know, but this is how you wind up with guys who use those sticky friggin' placards.
Yes.
And then you're like, you know, you're hooking up to the trailer. It's an empty, and it's been setting up in the yard with this goofy sticky placard on it. Now you're trying to friggin' scrape them all off.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock in the morning in the rain. You know, it's like this
in the rain and the snow, and there's nowhere else to go.
There you go. And that was your musical interlude for the season.
There you go.
Yes.
But no, that is one of those questions, and that's one of those things that has to happen. You know, the placarding part of it, that's an aspect of this job that, you know, we don't talk enough about. We don't talk about, you know, to just the general public, you know, and just the general knowledge for the drivers anymore is questionable at times, you know?
I still think I'm a firm believer in it. When you're getting your license, you know, like my daughter just got hers.
Yeah.
I made sure she understood placards. So if she looks at a truck, she knows what she's looking at.
At least she knows what she's looking at.
Get the heck away from them.
Right.
Doesn't
matter.
Anytime
you see a placard.
Yeah. Get away from them.
Yep.
I like when you go out, you know, and you happen to have a poison on and
Right.
And that's placarded. People come up, oh, skull and crossbone. And then they're just staring at it, driving down the road, almost drifting into your trailer. You're like,
well, they think you're a pirate.
Just keep moving.
Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, you know, again, that's where it comes into that whole thing of just keep moving down the road. Don't lollygag. Don't take your time next to a big truck. Just don't.
Right.
Just keep moving. You know, that's one of those things that four, you know, how many times we see it all the time. People ride right next to you, your right side, your left side, your blind side, you know, no concept that I can't see you, or that if you're there and something happens, I can't react because you're there.
Right.
I realize we're sharing the road and there's times where traffic is just, it's congested and we're all struggling to get where we're trying to go. And yeah, there are those times where you're going to wind up, but you know, you get it like the construction zone there on 78 mm-hmm. going westbound, you know, out past New Smithville. And you're just like, you know, people will ride right next to you and you're in this constricted area, you know, in between these walls, yep. and you've got nowhere to go. And if anybody fades one way or the other, somebody's going into somebody or somebody's going into the wall and then going into you.
Right.
You know, and it's just, you know, pay attention and keep moving. Just go. Just get past what you're passing.
Exactly.
Don't sit there. You know, and big trucks going through there. That's another one of the things that just drives me crazy. It's like, look, I don't, you know, if the speed limit's 50, let's be safe. You know, it says right lane, no trucks. Let's be safe.
Right.
You know, there's a reason for that. You know, I just wish sometimes we, you know, that more professional drivers would act it.
Right.
You know, I know that sounds terrible to say it that way, but it's true. That's how I feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to get my job done. I want to get to where I'm going. I also want to get home.
Right. As much as they want to get there, you
exactly
want to get there too. Yeah,
and I want to get there safely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, speaking about you know, cars driving down the road with no tire, I'm driving up to Hazleton one night, and I hear this racket. I'm like, what in the world is that? And it's just this loud metallic sound. There's a guy in a right hand lane driving in a four wheeler. His front left side driver, the driver tire, was gone. He's gone. Driving on his rim. And he's just driving like he doesn't even know it. And I'm like, how do you not, I'm in a truck and I can hear this. My right. radio is on and my windows are up and I'm listening to this. How do you not know this, dude? What are you doing? You lose control of that. Guess who's going to get creamed? Me mm-hmm. and you. Only I'm up higher than you are. So I'm not, you know, it's going to bother me, but it's going to hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, this is the stuff that you see on the roads. And that's the stuff. This is why it's like, if you're a professional driver, drive like you're a professional driver.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to drive like you're in your car, stay in your car.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to sound like cranky about it or angry about it, but it's how many times we have to see stuff happen.
Right.
You know,
and then everybody always wants to blame that. You and I both know.
Yeah.
So, you know, something happens on the road. Us as the Class A holder, it's automatically our fault
yes.
until we can prove our innocence.
Yep. Yep. You're guilty no matter what.
Which is kind of cool of having these new cameras in the truck. Which,
yes.
You know, I've had companies, I've had them. You know, yeah, they do save us in some stuff. Yeah, some stuff that they want to talk to us about. It's like, why right. are we having this conversation?
Yep.
But we've come to that point in society where we have to have that kind of technology.
That's what it boils down to.
Safety.
Yes. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, you got to cover your CYA. You just have to.
Yeah.
You just do.
I had an incident one day. I was going out in New Jersey. I had a liftgate trailer and mm-hmm. we're coming up and scale's open. Everybody's jumping over to go for the scale.
Right.
Last sign flipped to closed because they're now backing up onto the interstate.
Right.
Had no time. I looked over to my left. My middle lane was clear. I switched over because I was behind another one of our drivers and I almost rear-ended him because he reacted to what was in front of him.
Sure.
You know, at the time, yeah, I may have been a little too close to him. So instead of me locking up and, you know, keeping this reaction going behind us,
yep.
I had an out to the left. I took it.
Sure.
I went to the left. I don't know if I just hit something in the road maybe, but I heard a sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. Pickup truck in the left lane kind of pulled over in the left shoulder there on the median. I'm like, what's going on here? So I started slowing down, started getting over to the right because mm-hmm. just I heard the noise. I see this truck going over. I'm
sure.
Like, all right. He comes up past me. He's got front end damage. It was a Chevy like 2500.
Okay.
He's got front end damage high up on the front fender. I'm like, mm-hmm. there's no freaking way. So I got off the exit. You know, I can't pull anywhere there. I get off the exit there, 173, and pull over right away.
Sure.
I'm looking at the trailer. I'm like, I don't see any fresh scrapes.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. So I call the dispatcher, and he goes, hey, give safety a call. You know, just let them know what happened, what you heard. All right. So I called them. First thing they say is, hey, we're going to go to the camera and see what we can see.
Right.
All right, cool. So I never heard about it. The other guy never called back about it. And another one of our drivers saw that truck and was like, yeah, that damage is way too low for your liftgate trailer because the steps in the back on where they set.
Okay.
That damage was kind of lower than what the liftgate was. You never hit them. Cool.
Right.
But it's an instance like that where you're reacting to the weigh station where they want us to go.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Did something happen?
Right.
Yeah.
You've seen something in the road. You heard it.
Yeah. And you don't know. And,
right.
You know, it's the whole part of not knowing.
Sure.
That in say, similar incident to me coming out of Cherry Hill, you know, on Vine Street where it comes from the two lanes, sucks in the one into to get one. On the Schuylkill.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario. You know, I thought I heard something. I slowed down. You know, the vehicle that was behind me comes flying by me like a bat out of hell, and everybody keeps going. I know exactly
what you're talking about. You know, that particular area, you have nowhere to pull over from.
Right? Yeah.
You got nowhere to go.
And I'm like, I'm doing like 45 on the Schuylkill, thinking, you know, I'm trying to get all the way over, and everybody literally passed me, and I'm like,
right.
Okay, I guess everything's happened.
All right. I didn't see nothing.
You know, if the guy behind me or two cars behind me didn't pull over.
Yeah.
You know, like
flashing the high beams trying to get your
attention.
No,
nothing. Nothing. Right. But it just sounded weird.
Sure.
You know, it's like you said, you had one of these weird noises.
Yep.
You know, and I thought there was an issue, but there wasn't. There wasn't. But and they don't give you an inch, you know.
Oh no. And and when you're in those areas, it's like right in North Jersey, you know, Philly, you know, all those, and it's just it's the mindset. It's the mindset of the people, and I understand that. And you have to be as understanding as you can be. At the same time, it's like you just wish that they would give you the same benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, well, you say it's their mindset, it's their mindset, blah, blah, blah. But we as drivers, we're known to be looking 6 to 12 seconds down the road.
Okay? You have to.
You know, the scenario he was talking about with the scales.
Yep.
You know, first signs, you know, open. It's second open. Signs now closed.
Yep.
Now you're getting the guys that are in line trying to jump out and get back on the interstate.
Yep.
And they're coming from a dead stop and you're rolling through at 65 mile an hour.
Yep.
It makes for a bad day.
Yeah. Again, that's where you want professional drivers to act like it.
Right. If you're in the line, you're taking a hit.
Yeah.
You just go through the scale house. But no, not in Jersey. No.
No.
You flip that switch and it's game on like Donkey Kong.
All bets
it's
are off.
It's a free-for-all. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
yeah.
That's
your bet. Your safest lane is the lane that you're not supposed to be in, the far left. Because
the
that
high
way,
dollar lane.
Yeah. Right. You know damn well at least you got a shot of getting through all this before hell comes down and has its fury.
Yeah,
I've said it before. I said it a couple times. I'll always say it. Common sense is a punishment to those of you who have it. Because, you know, am I a perfect driver? Absolutely not.
Right.
Name me the perfect driver, though, and I'll hire them to drive me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're always
you driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, you're always looking for everything. And, you know, like you said, when you're up in the truck, you're looking ahead. You're looking side to side. You're checking your mirrors. You're checking the trailer. You know, you get these containers. The containers are only secured down by four corners.
I know.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. If the driver did his job right, you know,
yes.
I trained a gentleman who was much older than I was to run the intermodal rail yard. And I emphasized, stressed to him, you need to do this. You need to secure all four corners. You need to make sure they're in. And we even had a policy where you had to use zip ties to show that they were locked.
Right.
This guy went down the road on his first load right after I released him. He did everything great in training. I released him. I get a phone call from another driver. Hey, why is driver X going with all his locks completely open?
Wow.
I said, what do you mean completely open? He goes, not a single one is locked. Thankfully, the truck that I had was a little bit faster than his truck.
Uh-huh.
I was going home. I was coming down to 412 instead of making the right to go to our yard, because now we had a yard with these guys.
Okay.
I had to make a left to go catch him because he was only maybe a half mile up the road from me.
Wow.
I get on 78. I did not catch him until Summit. He wasn't answering his phone for anybody who was calling him.
Wow.
It's like, what do you do at that point?
Yeah. Right.
So till I was able to actually catch him, we were at Summit Lawn, and I got next to him, like, yo, pull over. Got him to pull over, and he's like, oh my God. I'm like, dude, don't leave the yard till that happens.
Right.
So that's one instance that I know about that I was able to correct. How many times do you see these containers going down where, you know, tires missing, wheels missing, or you see the lock just dangling?
Right.
It's like, wow, what? Why is this happening?
Yeah. For the majority of it, you see it when it hits an overpass and it comes clean right off the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, and now it lands on a car behind it because they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
That's when you see it. That's when it sticks in your head.
Yes. Holy crap. You know, I cannot imagine. And
here's the scary part about that. Okay. 45,000 pound container put onto a chassis. Mm-hmm. Locks being secured by zip tie.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying here?
See the irony? The irony of it all, you know? It's
zip ties and duct tape. We're good to go.
I don't like cotter pins on my carnival rides.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, it's again, it's one of those things that you look at and from the outside, everything looks secure, everything looks safe. And you have to ask yourself, are you running through the checklist in your own head?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just, you know, okay, everything looks good. I'm going to go. It's like, I get bothered if I haven't checked my trailer number and my seal number, make sure that they're both on the same paperwork, you know, and that's why it bothers me sometimes when I get to a terminal who puts the trailer number on, but doesn't put the seal number on, because that's to me that for my own satisfaction, in my own goofy head, I always look to match those two things up to make sure I'm not transposing the numbers on the trailer, you know, or whatever in my head. It's like that to me. That's always a double check for myself, so that I'm not hauling the wrong trailer.
Well,
you know,
here's a thought: how many times does this occur? Somebody comes over to you in the morning or at night while you're hooking,
right? And starts talking.
Starts talking to you. Now you're out of your routine.
Yep.
If you're unhooking, you know,
and you forget to take your glad hands off.
You forget to take your airlines off.
Right.
You forget to take
that. Or when you guys run city, how many times did you have your coffee in the morning? You start on the early shift. Get to your first stop and go, I hope I got the right trailer number, knowing you looked at it several times.
I had an instance this week, and I have the text here, and I showed everybody. Supervisor texted me a number.
Right.
The number on the bill, on the paperwork.
On your manifest.
On a manifest was a different number, but the seal matched. I didn't even click on it. I didn't even think about it. Got all the way to Harrisburg, and then I realized, I'm like, I looked at the number, told them the number coming in, but then I looked at the paper, and it was a different number, and I'm like having the oh shit moment. I pulled the wrong trailer.
Right.
I literally went up. Lucky Jason was there. Well, here it ends up. We have a certain dock worker, that has a hard time writing a number two crayon. He has poor penmanship.
Right.
Oh, I was pissed. Pissed, so like you would not believe.
Was it the right or wrong trailer?
Well, yeah, he just didn't know how to write a one the right way versus a seven.
That may have been the night I was on the dock.
No.
Oh, I know.
Wow. No,
but yeah, no. I was flipping.
Sure.
Because, you know, I was on a Golden Horseshoe night.
Right.
There's no way I'm going back around again because somebody screwed me over.
Right. That's freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Holy cow. How many times it's completely wrong and you have to get the supervisor out there, break open the trailer, check the freight. It does happen.
It does. I've had to do that.
Yeah, the number was 2279. The number on the manifest, 2219.
Wow.
Yeah. I was smoking when I got out to Harrisburg.
Oh my word! Yeah, yeah. That's that's why you always you try and check things and try to have to walk through something and to an extra thing that you have to do is making sure that the pins are locked.
Yep.
You know, when you're getting a container and you don't do it, like that would plague me. It would just I'd be like, because I'll check my fifth wheel. I climb underneath and shine my flashlight up on my fifth wheel, and I'll do it when I walk around the other side too. You know, like
when you're doing that, checking your fifth wheel, great, awesome. You checking the pins on your tandems?
Yes.
How many guys you see that aren't doing that? They're not checking their kingpin. They're not checking their tandems.
Yep.
And you just sit there. How can you consciously go down the road?
Yes.
Very fast.
67 miles an hour. I mean,
that's not a laughing matter, but yeah.
No, we get it. Yeah. But it is. It's true. You know, it's like, it's the consciousness of the job. That is, that's what I mean by, if you're going to be a professional driver, act like it.
Right.
You know, there are things that you just need to do that are required for everybody to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're double checking it and everything is okay. It wasn't a waste of your time.
Right.
Because if you double check it and it wasn't okay,
you just saved yourself
and somebody else.
Right. You waste 5 minutes, you know, waste 5 minutes of your time
right.
making sure it's good, or you're going to waste hours on the side of the road because something happened.
Yep.
Well, look at that wreck up on 33 with the fatality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one trailer, tandems were ripped out from underneath it.
Do you know how many people didn't even realize that there was a second tractor trailer involved with that?
No kidding.
I was talking with Bob, the fueler.
Yeah.
He goes, I didn't even realize that there was two cars, because there's the two cars under the trailer plus the one on the road. Because I didn't even know that there's a second tractor trailer. So right there in that picture, you can see the tandems.
Yeah, the trailer was up around the bend.
Yeah,
and it was sitting on its ICC bumper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
cow. Some of those wrecks, they go sideways quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Well, no pun intended. That's what that guy did.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my word.
And that one killed three people.
Yeah. I don't know was it the red car, or was there another car underneath?
There was two cars underneath.
Yeah. I saw the red car.
Wow.
But the other one had to be way under.
From the police release, I believe it was unit number 3, the driver and the passenger were both done at the scene.
Yeah.
Or no, one was at the scene, one made it to the hospital and was pronounced.
Wow.
And then it was like car number 4 that was involved, which I'm pretty sure, because they went to Cedar Crest, that's the one that they actually flew.
Right.
They were pronounced at the hospital as well. So it's people where at one time they had a chance at living.
Right.
Within whatever the time frame was, they unfortunately weren't.
Yeah, but they didn't release anything either as far as
cause.
What made that
why
southbound guy
went across. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For those people that don't live around here, you can tune out.
Yeah.
But I was just gonna ask you, I was curious. Like, I hadn't seen anything as to what the causality was. So that's why I was just gonna ask, but being said,
what was weird about that from the pictures. None of that guardrail broke apart. It all came off the posts.
Yeah.
And literally, as he jackknifed, he pushed the guardrail into the northbound lane. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one picture looks like you just took a giant arm and just was closing the lane. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Like those bridge trucks with the concrete.
Yeah, with the Jersey barriers. Yeah, the little ones.
But I think it's because of that is why they're putting in that guide wire stuff. Like, you see them doing that down on 70.
Yeah, but that doesn't really hold. I mean, it'll hold a car, but it's not going to hold a truck. I firmly believe there should be, the Jersey walls. And especially 33, for how heavy that gets traveled.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That should be blown out the three lanes also between 78 and 80.
There's that one.
But I know what the half-ass PennDOT's going to do. We're going to put the walls in, take 10 years to get them all the way down to 78.
Yeah.
Then we're going to widen it after that.
Right.
Then we got to take them all out again.
That particular section where that wreck occurred, I know it's going northbound. There's times, even to this day, I still slow way down going in because there's downward swooping. S-turns.
Yeah, coming out of right there before the move for the drive-in.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's the whole road.
Yeah, see? The guardrail never broke.
Yeah.
Wow. It just came off. Of everything,
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's just that's the crazy stuff that we see out there. That's crazy stuff that can happen. And that's why you just want people to be aware.
Yeah.
Right.
By the fire truck there's the tandem.
Yeah.
And the trailer's around the bend.
It's around the bend.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, it's just crazy. That's stuff. And that's why you want people to just be safe.
Right.
You know, having somebody on who's a volunteer fireman is important. It's like when we talked to Bob, Bob was a city fireman for Bethlehem, and it was he's coming up. His show is an air jet, but it's what is, Bob is fascinating. And
Mike.
And Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, right. He was another one, but it's the same thing. It's the same story, different verse.
Yeah, but it's why it's so important to cover these things sometimes, because you got to get back in people's heads.
Yep.
You know, you got to be in your head when you get behind. Well, I don't care if you're driving your car. I don't care if you're driving a big truck. I don't care what you're driving. I don't care if you're driving a motorcycle. You got to be in your head when you're doing it. No matter what.
Motorcycle. Motorcycle, car versus truck trailer.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well.
Add those to what I drive. You know, I got the Harley at home. I got, after a day at work, you know, if I get angry in Jersey, you know, right. Yeah, I'm in that left lane getting home.
Sure.
The motorcycle's even worse, though.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the process of getting rid of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because of choices that I make on it. It's not going to be good for me in the long term.
Right.
My wife's like, yeah, put that helmet on. I don't need to. I have the classes. I have the 2 years. Like, I qualify under the law to forget the helmet. She goes, and look at your speeds when you're riding. Bike's been sitting in the garage for months.
Right. That's the payoff helmet for working with your wife.
The helmet only means it just open prolongs. Or closed gases.
Yeah. It just open prolongs. Closed.
Yep.
Are you going to keep the brain in the soup bucket or is it going to be swept up?
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the same. And, you know, there are a lot of people who don't.
I mean, that's not saying that you're an asshole driver.
No, not at all. No.
I mean, you got to worry about the other people. It's that the other are texting. People. You just come right in. You,
I always go in defensive mode. If I'm not in the work truck, I drive more aggressive, but on the defensive side, where in the truck, it's, you know, defensive.
Defensive all the way. Yeah.
Right. You know, there's times where on the motorcycle, especially, I'll do some questionable maneuvers, but as I'm doing them, I'm getting the heck out of Dodge.
Right.
I'm not coming over, cutting you off, doing something stupid, hanging out in front of you. No, I'm coming, doing something stupid, getting out of there.
Right.
And
right.
I'm keeping my stupid to myself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to share it.
I'm going to try not to put it down in the lane to impede you, but I'm going to get away from you.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, sometimes that's one of the things that you again, it's another one of those safety things that we talk about. Yeah, you know, we talk about that, you know, with safety, you know, make sure you don't, you know, get away from the pack.
Right.
Don't drive in a pack, get away from it. So you have an out.
Yeah.
You know, and how many people do that? You know, they drive in the pack. They just all stay together. It's like, why? What are you doing?
One of the big things we don't miss about.
We all left the truck stop at the same time.
Right. I don't miss about running, you know, Long Island and all that is Cross Bronx Expressway, BQE. Great when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. You know, we were clearing a 6 mile Cross Bronx in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Soon as COVID restrictions were loosening up, 4 hours to go the same 6 miles.
Yeah.
But then you get the motorcyclists coming through. They want to do their wheelies. They want to do this. They want to do that. It's like.
And they want to come up in between you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They want to split the lanes. Like, man, just do that over there. Let me keep going.
Right. Right.
So it's, you know, you're watching out for everything on the road, really.
Yeah. You are.
You never know what's coming from where.
That's it. And that is, it's like you have to have eyes all the way around your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sadly, we have two eyes and we have mirrors to see what's coming up behind us and a windshield. And I can't control all of those aspects.
Right.
I can only control what I'm doing and how I respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that's going on outside of me, everything that's going on outside of my vehicle, that is the stuff that's scary. Because people aren't paying attention, because people are doing things like splitting the lanes. People are doing things like who knows what.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I in my own head, I just come back to say, if we would all drive, like this is, I want to get home safely.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that I want to get home.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Because it's all about everybody getting home. You know, everybody wants the same thing.
Yeah.
But we don't drive like we want the same things. You know? Does that make sense?
That shows the separation. Like, a lot of my close friends, they know that I won't discuss politics.
Right.
I won't. I have my beliefs. You have your beliefs.
Yep, exactly.
Whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm that guy that I'll preach. Doesn't matter what our beliefs are. We need to do greater good for the next person.
Yeah.
What's good for me is good for you, is good for my neighbor, it's good for the next person.
Yep.
Take that mindset on the road and be like, okay, you know, let's get down the road. Let's not shut down this road because we're doing something stupid.
Right.
You know, you want to send a text message? Cool. You got a wide shoulder right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Park have an it. Exit ramp.
Yeah. You know?
Pull over for a minute. What are you going to lose? 3 minutes?
Right.
Cool. You lost 3 minutes to send something personal rather than shutting the highway down for hours.
Yep.
Fatal accidents on average are what? 6 to 8 hour shutdowns?
Give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy to do something that could have waited.
Right.
It just could have waited. Nothing is that important. Unless your wife's in, you know, labor. Then it's, you know, it's a little important. But even then it's not that important that you should still pull important. Over.
There's still gonna be a thing called due regard while going down the road.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I totally agree.
Hey, if the wife's in labor, look at it this way. The child is like luggage. You're not getting rid of it. That's
right. It's funny because we're packing the hospital bags and everything. I'm like, throw a couple extra towels in there. She goes, why? I said, because till we actually get going, you're going to be in labor. She goes, yeah. I said, if I have to pull over and deliver my kid, I'm going to.
Right.
You know, it's not really a hard. It's not complicated to do it in an emergency situation. Obviously, ideally, you want to be in the hospital, in a, your medical setting, or whatever you may have. But if you've got to do it, you've got to do it. So you get a couple extra blankets, you know, you secure, you wrap up, you make the phone call, you get help coming to you as you're doing what you need to do and get going.
Yep.
She's like, I didn't think about that. I know. You know, everything we're packing. Hey, did you pack this? Well, why would I pack that? Because of this. You got to plan ahead.
Yep.
And same with driving, winter driving. Everybody, oh, why do I have to pack clothes? You hear guys that had to shut down a Walmart for a break. You know,
yep.
They had dry clothes. They probably would have been a lot happier than what they were.
Yeah. Yeah. So, amen, brother.
Pre-planning.
Yep.
That's all you got to do.
Always. Yeah. Be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready.
And stay out of the hammer lane unless you're going to do hammer things.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, on that
note. That's my lane. That's my.
That's your tagline.
No. That's my lane, period. There's not much traffic out there at times. I just, I've been known to break a infraction, law infraction.
What? No.
Jersey.
No. What? I didn't hear that.
I didn't think
I didn't hear that at all. Well, all that being
people
said.
People are jealous of me. That's all I
people
can say.
People are, yes. People are jealous of you. Because you're a people person. That's right. Well, you know what? I really appreciate it, this Hector. I really appreciate you coming in. And I look forward to
with my wife later.
I was going to say, I'm looking forward to having your wife in and having you and your wife in together. And that'll be a fun conversation. You know, I really am looking forward to it. It was great. It was great having you. I appreciate you coming in.
Nothing against your wife or your son. No crybabies.
No city driver. Got it.
No city driver, no line hall driver. We're not talking to anybody.
This is a show about nothing.
Yeah, we just sit here and look at each other. You know,
talking about nothing.
Oh, that's freaking hilarious. Well, we hope you enjoyed the show because I know I enjoyed sitting here talking with Hector, and it really was a blast. It was educational. It was helpful. It was efficacious, as they say. And I hope you enjoyed it. And if you enjoyed it, Shipper, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with everybody. All the YouTube channels and social medias, all that happy shit.
Amen.
Just share the show. Get somebody else to listen to it. That way we can retire quicker.
There you go. And after you share the show, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
Thank you. See ya.